Welcome to the Freedom Line, the podcast for the Center for Individual Freedom, where we meet nonsense with common sense. Here's your host, Renee Giacchino.
Thank you for tuning into the Freedom Cast. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. Joining me again is Svi Khan. Svi serves as the research fellow and senior editor at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. You can follow his work at fdd.org. That's fdd.org. Well, Svi, welcome back. I can only imagine how busy you have been these days, considering, you know, the geographic zone that you tend to cover. So I'm really pleased and honored that you cut out a little bit of time to join us today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
So you have taken over, or I guess maybe this is a project you've worked on for some time, a foreign policy tracker, and it looks like it comes out once a month on a regular basis where the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, your experts, weigh in on how the current administration is doing from a foreign policy standpoint. Give us a little bit of an overview of this project and why it's important.
Yeah, sure. So every month, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, where I work, puts out what we call a foreign policy tracker, where we cover the Trump administration's various foreign policy and national security positions across the spectrum. Our goal is to call balls and strikes. We're not partisan. We're not political. We seek simply to assess whether the policies of the Trump administration are working. We had a similar project under the Biden administration. I recently took over as the editor of this project. We provide a very positive, we either rank them on a level of very positive, positive, neutral, negative, or very negative. Some of our scholars, we have many scholars at the foundation, and some of them take a more critical view of what the Trump administration is doing. Some of them have a more positive, and we rank through all the issues and attempt to tell our readers what we think, how they should view what the Trump administration is doing.
So you work very extensively in anything related to Iran, particularly Iran's nuclear program and its regional ambitions. And I see that on the Trump administration foreign policy tracker for October, I was quite surprised to see potentially trending positive. How does it get that rating?
Well, overall, I think when you look back at the last year of the Trump administration, or almost the last year, it was, a complete reversal of what we had seen under the Biden administration, which was one, I think the Biden administration's policy was one largely of appeasement of Iran, or what I would call maximum deference, in contrast to the first Trump administration's policy of maximum pressure. They sought to, I think, revive the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, which I think was a fatally flawed agreement that largely paved Iran's path to a nuclear weapon rather than actually stop or slow that process. Instead, I think the Trump administration said that we're actually going to adopt a policy of peace through strength. The administration tried to reimpose many of the sanctions that we had on Iran. It said, we're going to negotiate with you, but only for a limited time, and you have 60 days to do it. And the administration largely kept that promise. And what we saw in June of this year was that the administration backed Israel's attempts to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities, take out its military leadership, take out its ballistic missile program. And then I think to the Trump administration's great credit, it joined the military campaign and took out some of Iran's most hardened nuclear facilities with bunker busting bombs, which only the United States really had the ability. It was the only country really in the world that had this military capacity to do that. So overall, when I think when you look at what the Trump administration has done over the last year, I think we've seen a very strong a very positive gain in the Iran policy. And I think for that reason, I would regard it as a positive move or a positive development in U.S. policy towards Iran.
Not surprising, trending negative, China. I think we all very clearly understand that. And for folks who want to read why, they can certainly go to your website, fdd.org, and your colleague Craig Singleton has written about that. I was a little surprised to see Russia as the trending positive, because It seems like, you know, at least what I'm reading in the media, and again, you got to take a lot of that with a grain of salt, it's almost as if the administration is being played a little bit by Putin and the Russians. I don't expect you to dive deeply into that discussion, but what's your overall sense there?
Well, I do think when you look at the overall Trump administration policy towards Russia and Ukraine since he took office, my view is that has not been particularly good. He has largely seemed to view Vladimir Putin as a partner whom he can negotiate with. He has put a lot of pressure on Ukraine to end the war and to agree to concessions or to agree to the territorial conquest that Putin has already made and not give up and not try to take back that land. I think one reason that we're seeing is that Trump administration is now moving in a more positive direction in recent weeks is that it seems like the administration that Trump has, I think, finally begun to see Vladimir Putin for who he really is. He's threatened more sanctions on Russia, and he's actually recently issued a tweet where he on X and social media where he basically said that he supports Ukraine, Ukraine's goal of regaining the territory that it had lost under the war. And we saw much more full throttled support and rhetoric towards Ukraine that I think had been sorely lacking for much of Trump's second term. So obviously anything could happen in the coming months, and it remains to be seen whether Trump will sustain this rhetoric and will hold the line and take a stronger stance on Vladimir Putin. But for the moment, I think, at least right now, there are some trending positive signs towards Russia. And I think that's hopefully some room for at least cautious optimism.
When this report was distributed, again, we're talking about the Trump administration foreign policy tractor, the October report, which was put out very early, October 3rd. We're now, you know, well over a week, almost 2 weeks from that date. Trending positive was Israel. Would you slide that over to trending very positive, or does it move in the opposite direction? Obviously, you know, the peace agreement between Israel and Hamas has been signed. In your opinion, you know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And what are your thoughts on what direction you think that may go?
I mean, I think this is overwhelmed. For the most part, I think it's positive, whether it's, you know, whether it's very positive or positive, we can quibble. But I think the peace deal that Trump has negotiated, while it's not perfect, and there are some parts of it which I'm concerned about, overall, I think it's a net positive for the region. Most importantly, it brings the hostages home, which was one of Israel's foremost objectives. In this war, the capture of the hostages had exerted an enormous psychological toll on Israeli society. And for most Israelis, this was their number one priority. So it's very good that the hostages are home now. Obviously, there is some concern that if Hamas has already violated the agreement by not releasing all of the slain hostages, and they seem to still have a number of the bodies of those hostages. So that's already a violation of the deal. And it also just goes to show that anytime we strike a deal with a group with Hamas or Islamist terrorists like Hamas, these are not groups that necessarily can be trusted to keep its word. And now we're going to face the next steps of the deal is that Hamas has to disarm. It has to give over Gaza to a transitional authority and take no further role in Gaza. Whether Hamas is actually going to do this or put up a fight over doing this, I think remains to be seen, though. I don't know that we can necessarily assume that developments will proceed as smoothly as we would like. Another concern I have about the deal is the release of many Palestinian terrorists, a disproportionate release of terrorists, considering we're talking about hundreds of hardened people who are serving life sentence with blood on their hands. This is sort of unfortunately something that routinely takes place in hostage deals between Israel and Hamas, and it's unfortunate this has to happen again. When you look at, I think the overall picture of the deal is one that is positive, given what Hamas has agreed to do, given the fact that the Arab world is largely united behind this plan in a way that we hadn't really seen in the past, and given that at least on the surface it seems to achieve Israel's or almost all of Israel's war aims that they established since the beginning of the war that began after October 7th of 2023.
Yeah, it's been very sad to read about, you know, them, the slain hostages all not coming back. In fact, I think this morning it was reported that one of the bodies was misidentified even. And not a slain hostage. And then I read as well that they're not even sure where they all are, and that they may ultimately put into place like rewards or incentives to try to help find those families. I mean, the just unimaginable misery they must be going through. When you were talking about, you know, Hamas, part of it being that, you know, they disarm. Boy, in the days, just even the immediate days following that, you know, what we read in the news about happening between, you know, Hamas as they moved back in after, you know, the Israeli soldiers left, and then the families that are there that were trying to take an authoritative role, sure does not lend confidence in the fact that we think that Hamas is going to hold up to its end of this peace deal. Turning then, as you know, work a lot in the Arab world, there is talk, as I understand it, of some Palestinian forces coming in and at least having a presence for a time being to try to quell some of this. What do you think the odds are of A, them coming, and B, that being successful?
Well, I'm not optimistic. I think it's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen. But given the control that Hamas has over Gaza, given the fact that there's been all this violence in recent days, just since the deal against these rival clans within Gaza, a great many people have been killed already in this violence. So, you know, it's hard to say at the moment whether the plan will succeed, but certainly I think there are going to be great challenges ahead. I wouldn't assume that developments will unfold smoothly, and it's certainly possible that things will get worse before they get better.
Is there anything we can look to in history, Svi, do you think, where, you know, like that, as I understand the Gaza peace plan, it's sort of set out in several different components, phase one being the immediate ceasefire and humanitarian actions. You know, the Hamas and others are saying, well, Israel has already violated that because they're not sending what they said they were going to send. And they're saying, well, it's because Hamas didn't hold up to their end. So we've got that, you know, going on still. And then phase two being what we were just talking about, the demilitarization and then security measures. And then phase three, this governance and reconstruction. I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about, I mean, obviously this is, you know, deemed a 2-year war, but I mean, we're talking about centuries old, you know, warring and battling. And, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, this may be the end of this war, but will there ever be peace? I mean, what are your thoughts there? And I know that's a big question and a big question mark, but just from your experience, you know, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm not, you know, obviously, while I think in the immediate term, there's overall room for optimism, it seems like we're, you know, at an end of the war, assuming Hamas keeps its side of the deal. And certainly, you know, we're certainly in a much better position now than we were earlier this year. Whether we're at the dawn of a new Middle East, however, is something I'm less skeptical about. You know, when Trump spoke to the Israeli parliament a few days ago, it was a good speech, and he largely said the right things. However, I think he might have been a little bit overly optimistic in the way that he basically said we are now in a new era of peace in the region, certainly between Israel and Palestinians and in the larger Middle East. And I think the Palestinian society, both in Gaza and the West Bank, is overwhelmingly radicalized against Israel. There is rampant anti-Semitism, rampant anti-Israel support for violence, support for terrorism. This is a radicalized society. You know, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, in the West Bank, you know, does not have any support within the Palestinian people. He supports violence. He has he continues to provide money to families of terrorists. The policy called the pay to slay. There's still rampant incitement. So these are problems that are not going to resolve themselves overnight. Looking at the broader region, you know, the regime in Iran, though it's certainly much weaker now than it was before, it remains in power. It continues to repress its own people. We're still seeing violence in the Red Sea by the Houthis. There's always the possibility that Iran could rearm, could rebuild, and resume its mischief in the Middle East. When I look at Syria, I mean, I wouldn't put too much, you know, while the leader of Syria, al-Shara, often, you know, he wears a suit now, and he often says the right things. You know, I think he has a history of violence. He's a former hardened Islamist terrorist. I wouldn't assume he's simply going to change his stripes overnight. He's not going, he might reach a security agreement with Israel. He's not going to reach, you know, a larger peace agreement with Israel. So when I look at the region, you know, I don't think we're at the dawn of a new larger peace. And I think there are certainly going to be a lot of problems to deal with in the years, you know, perhaps decades to come. Having said all that, I think the Trump administration's policy has been a dramatic improvement over what we've seen in recent years. I think the Trump administration has a lot to be proud of, certainly in its Iran policy and in the way it has brought an end to this war, which was something that, you know, his predecessors did not succeed. I saw a recent meme on social media in the last few days where you saw a picture of President Obama on the phone with Islamist terrorists. And Obama says, in kind of comic strip, Obama says, let's negotiate. And the terrorists say, no, we're going to blow stuff up. And then you see Biden talking to the terrorists, and Biden says, let's negotiate. And the terrorists say, no, we're going to blow stuff up. And then Trump talks to the terrorists, and Trump says, we're going to blow stuff up. And then the terrorists say, let's negotiate. you know, I think what we're seeing is a new policy of peace through strength, which I think has led to dramatic successes. Will it, you know, lead to peace in the Middle East in a comprehensive way? No, I don't think so. But certainly, it certainly can reduce the tensions in the Middle East and leave us in a better position than we were before. So I think we can be optimistic. We shouldn't be messianic in our expectations of what might happen in the years to come.
Excellent analysis. Thank you for that. One final question. Back in February, you may recall that you know, President Trump, in a joint press conference with Netanyahu, said that the United States, quote, will take over and, quote, own the Gaza Strip, leveling and reconstructing the territory, which will provide, quote, unlimited amounts of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do you think that's still in the plan for the Trump administration? I kind of get the sense that, you know, the focus has got to shift, or going to shift probably, maybe, you know, further east to Ukraine and Russia, and let this all get sorted out, perhaps through the Arab world.
Well, in the immediate term, the plan, the new Trump plan, reverses what he earlier said, in the sense that, you know, he's not going to be forcing any Palestinians to leave Gaza, certainly. And if anybody who does leave Gaza, they can return. So, in the immediate sense, what we've seen is a reversal of what Trump originally pledged to do back in February. I mean, at the time, you know, you could say, you know, it's hard to read exactly what was running, what was motivating that statement. You know, one of the arguments is that that it was simply a negotiating tactic, you know, the art of the deal, so to speak, where he was simply taking a maximal position in order to compel the Arab world to take a more moderate position and more forthcoming position in their attitude towards the Palestinians. You know, whether, you know, moving forward, we're going to see a rejuvenation of Gaza. I certainly hope that Gaza will be rebuilt. I certainly hope that the Palestinians there will have the ability to lead better lives than they do now. What I hope, though, is that it's done in a way that reduces the threat from Gaza, and that it does not leave, and in a way that hope tries to de-radicalize the population of Gaza, so that we don't see a repeat of what happened on October 7th of 2023. So at this point, I think there's reason for optimism that we're going to see an improvement in the situation in Gaza. Hopefully the Palestinians will be able to live better lives. Hopefully we'll see a reduction of conflict. You know, will we see a new, you know, Riviera in the Middle East, as Trump has said at one point? No, I don't think we're going to see you know, if that happens, it's certainly not going to happen overnight. And I think, you know, it'll take, we have a long road ahead before we see, you know, a new Gaza. And time will tell how that plays out.
Most certainly. Well, thank you so much. We will certainly have you back again. We appreciate all of your time today. Our guest has been Zvi Khan, Research Fellow and Senior Editor at Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Follow his work at fdd.org. That's fdd.org. Zvi, thank you again for your time. You have a wonderful day.